Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
Welcome, everybody. That did not go as planned, obviously. So glad that you're all here today. My name is Dallas. I'm one of the pastors here. And man, we're so excited to have time today to celebrate mothers. Welcome all moms. Happy Mother's Day to you guys. So blessed to have you with us. Father, we worship you this morning, Lord God. Lord, just like the song says, Lord, come in this place. We invite your presence today, Lord God. Lord, and I say this almost every week. Certainly we know we carry you with us, Lord Jesus. But when your people are gathered together, Lord, there's something special about your presence, Lord. You inhabit the praises of your people. And so when your people come together to worship you and to give you honor and glory, Lord, you sit enthroned on those praises. So we do invite your presence in this place, Lord God. Lift your name up and we'll give you all the glory and praise, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can be seated.
Can have a time of prayer, and so glad that y'all are here this morning, as I've already said. And I always recognize on like Mother's Day and Father's Day, it's all happy and everything's good and everything's wonderful, except that's not always the case for everybody for lots of reasons. And so for us and just us in the room and maybe online, I know different life stories of all of you, and you know, some of us, our moms are not with us. They're already in heaven. Some of us just don't get to be with our moms today. Some of us don't have a good relationship with our moms. Some of us love our moms dearly, and we're so glad they're with us. And some of us were even abandoned by our moms. And so there's just all these things. And I really, you know, sometimes we don't think about that. And it was way long ago when I first got in ministry, and somebody came up after I had this big woohoo celebration for Mother's Day, and they told me just how much they disliked their mother because of some things that had happened in life. And so I want to pray for all of those situations, for all of you, for me, for all of us. And as we do that, though, before we do that, actually, we have a whole bucket of carnations down here. And so it's not just about moms, it's about women today as well, and all the influences you have in our lives. And so all the men with your children, if your moms are here today, your wife that's a mom, whatever, if y'all would just all come up, men and children, and grab a carnation and just pass those out to all the ladies in the room. And if it's your mom, just tell her how much you love her and how much you appreciate her, just for who she is today. All right, kiddos, there are a lot of flowers left up here, so if you want to come double up and just hand those out to whoever you want to, feel free. Dallas, if you're the smart man like I know you are, you're just going to give all of those to Casey. Pass all of those out. And listen, if there's somebody that you know that's not here today, or they're normally not here, maybe a neighbor, a friend, somebody, take one of those, and you can feel free to take those to them today, whatever. So y'all can keep walking around and doing that, and I'm going to pray for us while you are still handing those out. It's okay to move while we pray. There's nothing in Scripture that says you can't walk around and pray at the same time. Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful day that you have given us because of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives, Lord, and in the world. For today, as we celebrate this, I call them the Hallmark holidays of Mother's Day. And I say that because we should celebrate all of our roles in this world each and every day. We should be thankful each and every day. For all that we do and how we live our lives in you. And so, Lord, I pray that we are thankful for our spouses, Lord, for our moms, Lord, that our children would understand the meaning of how important a mom is in their life, just for all the different family dynamics that we have, Lord, that you would just reveal yourself to us in all of those places. And Lord, and for the hurts and heartaches in our lives today, maybe because of our moms. There might be a mom that has a hurt and heartache today because of their children. Father, and something that has gone on in life, maybe the death of a child. Lord, an absence today. Maybe they have to be alone. I don't know what all the situations are, Father, but that you would just minister to each and every person today. Lord, minister to each and every mom today. Lord, that they would know that they are enough because of who you are in them. Not because of how many meals they've cooked, not for the amount of toast that they may have burned, for the times that they have forgotten something, or the times that they just went way overboard, Lord, to show love and generosity. Lord, just bless them. Bless them for who they are in you. Lord, and for us in the room and for those watching online today, Lord, there's healing that needs to take place. Lord, there's mending of hearts and minds and relationships. Lord, in all situations, Lord, we just call upon you to be present. Lord, go before us. Let us follow you. Lead the way in each and every one of our lives. We love you and we thank you and we praise you. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. You have an opportunity to give today as well, and I want to pray separately for your finances. I always say it's that important to me. It's a sacrifice for all of us, and so the Lord knows that as well. And as you give, there's a place online, there's baskets around the room. And if you're a guest with us today, you're just joining us for Mother's Day, don't feel obligated to give. If you're a Christian and you know what you're called to do, just to really encourage you to do that. So let's pray one more time. Lord, thank you for the resources you give us. Lord, I'm ever mindful each and every day that, Lord, we all work hard, but yet somehow it doesn't all work out the same for each and every one of us. Lord, and I believe it's because how we call upon you in life, how we give back to you, Lord, how we know where our income, what the source of our income is. Lord, it's all from you. And so as we give today, Lord, as we give back what you call us to, Lord, I pray that you would bless that offering. Lord, that you would bless the tithe, and Lord, that it would just multiply so we can continue to do ministry, to show others your love. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Got a great treat today, and if you saw it online during the week and some of the little bumpers and some of the little teasers that we send out, it's Mother's Day, and Ashley and I had talked about kind of going back and forth like Dallas and I did a couple of weeks ago in a sermon series, and Ashley came to me last week kind of late in the week.
Moment of...
And she was kind of acting kind of, my word is jicky. And I'm like, what is wrong with you? And she goes, well, I need to ask you a question. I'm like, well, go. Well, I don't know how to ask, and I'm kind of afraid to ask. And I said, don't be afraid. Just ask. And she goes, well, you know how we were going to do this back and forth? And I said, yeah. And she goes, can I just do it by myself? I said, hallelujah. I said, that is fantastic.
And right yes, in this minute, can. I'm kind of regretting that a whole
yeah,
lot.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's all right. The worst that can happen is that, you know, the Lord moves and, you know, that's, yeah exactly. So that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing it.
Yes.
And I just encourage you afterwards just to maybe send her some cards or some Facebook posts, some tweets or whatever she needs just to, for this encouragement. This is a big scary deal for Ashley, considering a while back she goes, no, I'm not going to pray in front of people. And now look at her. Here
now
she
look
is.
Yeah, before I walked up here, I was thinking about 3.5 years ago, the first time I had to do a children's sermon, how I was like, refused to turn around and look at y'all. Like, I had my back and was only looking at the kids because I didn't want to do this, so like, even do a children's sermon in front of everybody. So, speaking of which, kids, we are going to dismiss you guys. You are welcome to stay in the room, but this isn't a children's sermon, so it's going to be a little longer. I have two dads, Armando and Joe, have graciously agreed so that none of the moms had to work on Mother's Day. So, two of the dads are going to, yes. Okay. I would like a hand like that every time I leave for children's worship from now on. But they're going to go, and they've got some great Mother's Day things planned for you guys to bring back for mom. All right. So I am going to talk about Mary and Martha today. Mary and Martha, you know, we all know the story. They were invited into... they invited Jesus into their home, and my favorite thing about a Mary and Martha story is that whenever we do this in a ladies' Bible study, you have a room full of women, and you start talking about Mary and Martha, and Martha was doing all the things, and she was serving Jesus, and she was cleaning, and she was cooking, and she gets mad at Mary for not helping her, and Mary, you know, she was sitting at the feet of Jesus and she was worshiping. And so anytime this has ever come up in a women's Bible study, you have a room full of women and they go, oh my gosh, I'm just like Martha. Including me, I'm just like Martha. And then there's like the one lady in the room who's like, no, I identify with Mary. And then this is everybody else, right? And so they're like, either you're lying or I need to be more like you, right? So the thing is neither of them, being a Martha is not a bad thing, and being a Mary is not a bad thing. And so today I'm going to talk about how hopefully we can work to blend the best of both of them to help us in our lives for moms and for wives. But really, I mean, this could apply to anybody who ever has those moments where they feel super overwhelmed. So the story and the scripture is, one of my favorite translations, it says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve her? Serve alone. Tell her to give me a hand. Like, we've got Mary here, and she's worshiping Jesus, and Martha's like, tell her to come help me. Like, tell her to get up. Tell her to come help me. And we identify with Martha because all the things have to be done. Nothing Martha was doing didn't need to happen. The food needed to be prepared. Dinner has to be cooked. The dishes have to be washed. The laundry has to be done. We have to figure out why there's clean clothes in the hamper and dirty clothes on the floor and the paper plates are in the sink and the forks are in the trash can. And like, oh, Ashley didn't email me my Sunday school lessons and I'm teaching for her on Sunday morning. And I'm on my kitchen thinking, oh, I didn't email those Sunday school lessons and it's Saturday night at 9:30, right? And that's how we live our lives, like 1 minute to the next. And the stuff has to be done. There's nothing that Martha did that wasn't wrong. None of them were bad. But then we get overwhelmed and we start trying to do all those things. And I don't know if you're like me, but I give my husband my 2 weeks notice like every other week and say I'm quitting. Like, he comes in from work and I meet him at the door and I'm like, I'm done. I'm out. I'll see you later. Sometimes I really do leave even, right? And I just need that break because it's too much. So Martha has Jesus right in front of her, and she's feeling all this, and she's frustrated because her sister won't help her. And anxious is even the word that some translations in the Bible use. Last week, Matt talked about casting cares, and it turns out that Hebrews, the word for anxious and for cares are the same Hebrew word that they're derived from. And so the cares, meaning to divide and to separate, that he talked about last week, is the same Hebrew word that we get the word anxiety and anxious from now. And so those cares, those casting the cares, it's that anxiety. And Jesus says in response to Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. And Jesus is kind of calling her out, it seems like. And there's been so many times where I've heard this story from the Bible, this scripture, and thought, yeah, she is. And why wouldn't she be? And I almost take offense to it. I don't want to say I take offense to scripture, but I take a little bit of offense to that stuff has to be done. We have to make sure these things happen. We have to make sure that homework is done and laundry is done and dishes are done. And so why is it such a bad thing that Martha's doing all this? And so he's not chastising Martha, and he's not calling her out in a bad way. He's just trying to shift her perspective. And it took me a long time and many, many, many times of studying this scripture to get to a place where I could see that, where I could realize this isn't about her doing what she's doing. It's about her focus, and it's about changing her perspective. And so he's not even trying to compare her to Mary, which is what I've often thought when I've read this, is that it was a comparison to Mary. But he's just trying to shift her focus, shift what she's focusing on. And so some scripture actually even says that Mary chose better. That's Luke 10:42. And so it doesn't say that Martha chose wrong. It just says Mary chose better. And so what Martha was doing wasn't wrong. It's just what Mary was choosing to do in that moment with Jesus in their house was the better choice. Her focus, her perspective was better at that time. For me, I don't know how to stop doing things. I don't know how to stop serving. I don't know how to leave the dishes in the sink. I don't know how to say no when the school needs 36,000 cupcakes for Teacher Appreciation Week. I don't know how to always stop doing that. I don't know how to stop serving. And I think one of my spiritual gifts is serving. And so it's hard for me to let go of that. And I think a lot of moms and wives and women identify with that. But I'm sure there's plenty of men. I know there's people in this room that I've probably over asked to help and to do things. And sometimes we don't know how to stop serving and switch to a place where we're actually worshiping. And so saying yes to good things isn't bad, but saying yes to too many good things can cause anxiety in our lives, can cause a divide in our lives. And so it's about getting to a place where we can choose better. And when we know that we can allow ourselves to stop saying yes so much to the serving and switch our perspective and say yes to worshiping, to making time for Jesus. And so if we give and we give and we give until we have nothing left to give, that's when the overwhelming sits in. That's when we get to a place where we can't focus on anything and do anything fully because we're doing so many little things so partially that we're not doing that one thing of worshiping Jesus well. You know, we talk about seasons. I hear moms say all the time, oh, it's a season, it's a two-year-old season, or it's a football season, or it's baseball season, or they're a teenager, and, it's a season of life. And I think when we start to blame things on seasons, this too shall pass, or things like that, that's where we lose focus, and I think that's where Satan sneaks in. And I think he comes in and he allows us and attacks us to not feel good enough and to feel like those things, not finishing those things, not doing those things fully makes us not good enough. And then he tries to tell us that and take us even further. further that divide in anxiety from Jesus. And so I read not long ago that Satan can take aim at a lot of things, but we can stop him short of destroying our joy and our love and our relationship with Jesus. Like, those are the things we have control of. Like, he may attack us, but we can change that perspective and we can stop him from stealing those things from us, the joy and the love and the relationship we have with Jesus. In Philippians 4:11, it says, "For I have learned to be content no matter what happens to me." We don't stop right there. Like, that is the end of that verse, but that's not the end of that scripture. And so when survival mode sets in, and we just put our heads down and we trudge along and we do the same thing day after day after day, we do start to feel like we're in a rut and we're in a routine that's maybe not very fulfilling. But the scripture doesn't stop there, and our attitudes don't have to stop there either, because it keeps going. And in verse 12, it says, "I have learned the secret of being content no matter what happens." So I can be content no matter what happens to me. In verse 12, "I have learned the secret of being content no matter what happens." And then we all know verse 4:13 out of Philippians, "I can do all things by the power of Christ." So it's not about taking that, just be content in your situation by itself. There's more to it. Paul had more of a story there. He said, "I'm content because I've learned to be content. And the way I've learned to be content is through Jesus, is turning back to him, not feeling just, well, Philippians 4:11 says I have to be content in all my circumstances, so I'm going to be happy while I scrub this stupid egg off this dish. No, it's about focusing and changing our perspective. And that is so hard for us to do when all those things are in front of us. But we just have to stop, and we have to come back to Jesus, and we have to reset our priorities. Another scripture from Corinthians, verse 1:8, 2 Corinthians, verse 1:8, it's another verse from Paul. Sometimes I think Paul knew motherhood almost very well, even though he wasn't a mom. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength. But then a verse later, he will deliver us. We have to put our hope in him that he will deliver us. And so if we don't put our hope in Christ, in Jesus, if we don't switch our focus from the mundane and the routine, and we don't take that time to worship him, then that's where we don't feel like we've been delivered. That's when Satan sneaks in. For me, I'm sitting here saying all this, and it's not easy. What it looks like for me is that I get to the point of all this that has to be done, and I just can't do any of it. And I literally want to crawl in bed and pull the sheets over my head and just let it all go and just say, forget the laundry, forget the dishes, forget the homework. It's May. I don't care. He's got all A's at this point. Does it even matter if he does that math? Like, I just want to throw it all in. But I get there, and then that's when I realize, oh, okay, I see where I'm at now. I see where I need to reset. I see where I need to get back, and I've got to start over, and I've got to refocus. And it's time to start setting the alarm a little earlier and getting up and spending some time with Jesus, because that's when I have to do it. When no one else is awake in my house is when I have to be up and spend that time, because there's no other hours of the day. Sometimes I go through phases where I wake up in the middle of the night at like the oddest hours of like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. And I realized at one point that those seemed like a time when, I mean, I would be wide awake. I didn't feel miserable. I didn't feel like, oh, I can't go back to sleep. I would just be awake. And I realized that maybe I should see this as a time that I'm getting. I would get up. I would go have like a few minutes, maybe open my Bible, maybe just sit in prayer. And I kind of felt like those times were a gift. Like, you're not taking the time to be with me, so I'm going to make the time for you to be with me. And it was middle of the night, and they still happen every now and then, but there was a season where it was happening a whole lot. And I would spend that time doing those things, praying or reading. And all of a sudden I would be really, really exhausted again. I'd go back to bed and I'd go right to sleep. And so I had to use those. One time it came, Callan, who y'all just saw get dragged out of here a few minutes ago because he didn't want to go to class. Matt was talking about Macy not being a good sleeper. I don't care what your stories are, Callan was worse. He doesn't sleep. Like, he's the lightest sleeper. Like, it's just unreal how well someone can function being as light of a sleeper as he is. So he had finally gotten to a place where, like, I was actually making it till like 5-6 in the morning where I might not have to go get him. And one night, he just out of the blue was just screaming his head off. Like, it was like something was wrong. He was like, it was like a hurt or a sick kind of cry. And I went running in there, and he's like, he couldn't talk yet. You know, he's just, it's my mom. And I picked him up, and we went in the living room, and we got in the recliner, and he was out. I mean, he was like on my chest. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Because he's such a light sleeper. I know that moving him at this point is not going to work, and that we are not going to, no one's going to sleep, not him, not me. And so we just sat there, and I was like, well, we'll just sleep in the recliner tonight. And I couldn't go back to sleep. And that was the first time where I felt like I knew I'm being given this time. I'm being given this moment, because I couldn't go back to sleep. And that was the first time where I felt like, oh, that's why sometimes I get woken up. Now, when he was a newborn and nursing and eating and like all that, that did not happen. And those were not worship moments, y'all. They were hard, and they were long nights, and they were miserable. And that was the longest, that was like 18 years, not 18 months of my life and his. So, but once I found that time, now I know what my time is. And so you have to find when you can be given that time. I've heard moms and busy wives and busy people say it's the school pickup line. You know, they pull up because if you don't get there 45 minutes early, you're like 162 cars back to pick up your kid. And so I've heard people say that, you know, they get there 30 minutes early and then they're like, now what am I going to do? Maybe that's your time. Maybe that's the gift of time for you, is those 30 minutes to sit in the car by yourself. Or if you're not by yourself, your littlest one is at least strapped in and cannot burn anything down. Or maybe your son's not Callan and you don't feel that way. I don't know. But you just have to find your time. You have to make your time. You have to reset, and you have to shift that perspective. Sometimes we define ourselves in moments, and we let one thing define us. This really spoke to me a lot as I was preparing for this, because I was thinking, if this is an epic fail and I fall flat on my face, I hope this isn't a moment that defines me. And maybe it won't. Maybe y'all will just all forget about it later. But we take those moments, and like, maybe it's something when we do something good or when we do something bad, but we let one thing define us. And I think that that's something that all ladies are really, really guilty of, is we let that one thing define us and we hold on to that. And maybe no one else even realizes it or knows about it, but we hold on to that and we define ourselves by that moment. And we let it determine who we are and how we think of ourselves. And we don't have to do that. And this actually happened with Martha. So she has that moment of over-serving when Jesus is there, and Jesus is like, chill, lady, sit down and worship. And she never gets credit, rarely gets credit for another story. And her moment that she's defined by in the Bible is over-serving and not worshiping. But there's another story about Martha that's like really amazing. She was Lazarus's sister. And so Lazarus is who passed away. He was dead for 4 days when Jesus raised him from the dead. And so with that story, before Jesus gets there, and Lazarus had been dead a few days, he's coming into town and he's out on the road. And, you know, we know all this part about the disciples didn't want him to go back there because the heat and the pressure were on with the religious leaders. But he's coming in, and Martha hears Jesus is coming, and she runs out to meet him, but Mary stays home. Now Martha's running to Jesus, and now Mary isn't there to worship Jesus, isn't there to run to him. There's a role reversal here, and no one ever talks about that part of Martha's story, when she ran to Jesus. And when she did, she says to him, this is John 11:22, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. So she recognizes not only that Jesus is coming to do something, but that he has the will and the power to do something about Lazarus's death. She's in grief. She's upset. She's devastated because her brother has died, and they sent for Jesus many days ago, and he didn't come. But here she is running to him, and she says, "I know that God will give you whatever you ask." So in that moment, she does throw herself at Jesus' feet. And no one talks about this story where Martha does run to Jesus and does throw herself at his feet. And then in that moment, Martha, who was the busy one, she now gets something shared from Jesus that's one of the most important things in Scripture. It's one of the most important I am statements. And here it is being given to Martha. He says it to her for the first time. I am the resurrection and the life. You can study the I am statements all the time, and here he is giving this to Martha, who wouldn't sit down, who wouldn't stop cooking, who wouldn't stop cleaning, and now she has a moment where she runs to him, and she throws herself at Jesus, and she says, "I know you can do something about this through the power of God," and in return, she is told, "I am the resurrection and the life." That should be Martha's defining moment. That should be the moment that we all remember Martha for, and we don't, and we do the same thing to ourselves. We don't define ourselves by the moments where we do throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. And we do it in the moments when we're over-serving and overwhelmed. The problem is here is that it took Martha's brother dying for her to get to that place. She had hit rock bottom. She was at the hardest place she could be, probably in, maybe her whole life. Maybe that was the hardest thing she'd gone through. She was in a horrible place before she did that. And we don't have to wait till we get to that place to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. We don't have to wait. I mean, while when we are in those moments of grief and in those moments of anguish, yes, we should. But we have to realize that we can wait. We don't have to wait to throw ourselves at the feet of Jesus. So she lost her brother. She felt like the world was being ripped out from under her. We can do it before we get there. We have to recognize those times to shift our perspective and to change and turn back to Jesus. Take that one step back. She finally set aside her tasks. She finally set aside that, and she just worshiped. All we have to do is ask him. We don't have to wait until we're in a moment of that. We don't have to define ourselves by those moments. I think if we look at the Bible, we can learn nothing besides that if we defined everyone that has a story in here by their moments of not their best. I mean, David, Moses, Peter, they all had their really yucky moments. Like, we don't have to define them by those, and we don't have to define ourselves by those. Every single person in there has a redeeming story, a redeeming moment where they realized what the Lord, what Jesus could do for them. And they shift their perspective, and they shift, but we don't always focus on those. And that is true for Martha here as well. We can have those moments, but we don't have to let them define us. We don't have to let mundane define us. We don't have to let heartbreak define us. We don't even have to put ourselves into a Mary or a Martha category. We don't have to say, "Well, I'm a Martha, so I overserve." We don't have to say, "I'm a Mary, so I'm going to worship." We don't have to let any of that define us. We don't have to put ourselves in that box. All we have to do is turn to Jesus, run to him, and let the joy that we get from him be what fills us, whatever the season and whatever the circumstance and whatever the day is that's happening. It says in Galatians, "Christ has set us free to enjoy our freedom. So remain strong in the faith. Don't let the chains of slavery hold you again." So whatever you find yourself enslaved by, whatever is holding you back from Christ, from the freedom that he gives us, that's what you have to find the time to undo. That's what you have to find the time to shift your perspective from. That's what you have to let go of. And so maybe it means you say no to the 36,000 cupcakes for Teacher Appreciation Week, or maybe you say no to Sunday school, or maybe you can't help with something, or you tell a friend no, you don't even have time for them that day or that week. Just find that time to turn back to Jesus and to turn back to worshiping him. Let's pray. Lord, help us to remember that we don't have to define ourselves by anything anything this world puts us in a box of, Lord. Not by how we do the dishes, not by how clean we keep our house, not by how wrinkled or unwrinkled our clothes are, Lord. Not by whether we feel like we're a Martha or a Mary or whatever season we're in. Lord, help us remember that it is all about turning back to you. Lord, it is worshiping you and coming to you to be set free, to find that joy, and to be set free from whatever we feel like is enslaving us when we're the most overwhelmed. God, thank you so much for all the people in this room, the moms, the leaders, the nurses, the teachers, all the ladies who they're just out there doing sometimes the very best they can. Lord, help them to have those moments where they find you. Help them to take those moments to find you, to turn back to you and to worship you, to stay out of the mundane, to stay out of the ruts, to stay out of being overwhelmed. Lord, we can only do this with your help and through you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.